and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty. We're going to be talking about corn fungicides on this program. We're also going to be taking your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD or by email radio@agphd.com. You know, the corn price is not $7 anymore, and a lot of farmers are looking at, all right, what can I do to make sure I get maximum yield, but also get a really good return on every investment that I make? And corn fungicides are certainly one of those components that are not coming out of programs. Growers have seen them be very important, especially when you've got things like tar spot or gray leaf spot and other tough diseases that are in your area. Brian, as we look at these corn fungicides, I mean, there are so many programs this year to try to help growers get costs down. There's 0% financing or low percentage rate financing. There's lots of incentives here that companies have got in place to help growers out this year.
Yeah, some of the cheap finance offers are good. I appreciate those. We are using some of those on our own farm. But I want to come back to what you said about fungicides. There are going to be some people that cut fungicides. Here's my concern, and this is what we're always going to talk about. Don't cut stuff that's making you money. So if you're going to make cuts, that's fine. Just make sure they're strategic cuts and you're cutting things that aren't making you money. So anyway, as an example here, let's just say that you're spending $15 on a fungicide, $10 on application. That's $25. Now, granted, I'm hoping that you're applying something else, or I'm assuming you're applying something else, maybe some foliar fungicide or foliar fertilizer, insecticide, miticide, something else is going out there, so you don't have to allocate the entire application charge to the fungicide. But even if you did, even if it's $25, okay, if you have $4 corn, that's 6.25 bushels you'd have to have back to break even. At $7 corn, it's 3.57. So it's a difference of 2.7 bushels of corn. So is it something? Absolutely, it's something. I mean, we have to be concerned about this. But to your point, Darren, when you start talking about tar spot, we typically will see gains. If a person has tar spot and they spray the fungicide at the right time, we'll see gains of 20, 30 bushels or more. Same thing with gray leaf spot. Maybe not quite as much yield gain, but some. So if you're spraying for a harmful disease and you're gaining 10 plus bushels, yeah, I don't think that you're going to make any kind of change. It's the dry areas like where we're from where, you know, maybe if you were only gaining 5 to 8 bushels, now this becomes a lot more difficult conversation. Or you have to look at, all right, if I'm going out there, is there something else I can do that would help give me a better chance for an ROI? Maybe I use a biological product. Maybe there's something else I can throw in for cheap that gives me a bunch more yield gain, and now that really helps me justify that application.
You know, there are a lot of things to think about here, and many of these applications, growers are throwing several things in at the same time to save a trip, which I totally understand, and we absolutely do some of that on our own farm too. It's just important over the years to leave some check strips and try individual components to see if they make a difference, fungicide being one of them. I think, you know, it's tricky on things like fertility. If you say, well, I'm only going to apply boron, well, if you don't have all the other things perfect, boron's not going to make that much difference. It's almost always going to fail in trials. But if you had everything else at optimal levels and boron was the one nutrient that wasn't, then boron would show up as a positive. Here we're talking about disease control, and it's really a singular thing. Obviously, we've got to have the fertility right and all those things, but I'm just saying, don't also mix in the plant growth regulator and the insecticide and say, okay, well, did the fungicide pay or did it not? Let's just see what the fungicide did every once in a while. But every year is different, and disease pressure is not even across the whole field. So I get it. There's some tricky things to leaving check strips out there.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I look at, Darren. So every time we spray a fungicide in corn, we are also including an insecticide. I shouldn't say every time. Almost every time we are including an insecticide and or a miticide and a biological and some foliar fertilizer. So if I've got all that, plus I have the fungicide, I've got 4 or 5 chances to hit. And I only need one of them to hit. And I'm going to make that whole thing pay. So This year, it might be a disease thing because, oh, it starts raining again. Last year, it might have been the spider mite deal when we sprayed because we were in dry times and it remained dry afterwards. Year before, could have been the biological thing we threw in. So it's really tough if you say, oh, let's just try the fungicide. Well, yeah, but here's the thing. This is kind of what we've seen in our farm. Some years, the fungicide just doesn't pay. But other years, it pays so good that literally, we could have sprayed for 5 years and not had a gain, and we still came out ahead because the gain was so much. So it's really hard. This is a challenging thing when we say do check strips and trials and test stuff on your farm, because ultimately what we're all after is a good return on investment, not just this year, but over a period of time. Because that's what I'm hoping for on my farm, is over a period of time, I make money. Yeah, I know I'm going to have some years that are, well, they're kind of lousy. But over time, if I turn out good, I'm fine. As long as I didn't go broke in the meantime, I'm going to be okay if my net worth on average keeps going up.
Well, corn fungicides are certainly one of those considerations growers are going to have. Do I add it into the program? Do I take it out of the program? The other thing is just changing the timing of when you apply it. If you say, well, I've tried it before around tassel time, it hasn't really worked. We've got a lot of growers that have been moving the timings around with fungicides. For example, we had a lot of growers probably 5 to 10 years ago that were trying the V4 to V7 time window and saying, you know, I just didn't have that much disease. My corn plants were pretty healthy. Everything was kind of ideal at that time. Didn't see as much gain. But when I moved it back to late vegetative stages, the 5 feet time to treat that BSF was talking about a few years ago, a lot of growers had said, man, that actually made a difference. I had a better disease control and more of a yield response. It might be something before you say, well, I'm just going to cut my fungicide out of the program. Maybe I'm going to switch these timings up a little bit. It might pay for me or split the farm up a little bit and try different fields at different times to see what works best for you. We'll talk about corn fungicides today. We'll also take your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Envita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
For the smallest investment with the biggest impact on yield, upgrade your planter with Germinator closing wheels from Farm Shop MFG. To see how we stack up against the competition at a fraction of the cost, call us at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior strip tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit valent.com/maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio and talking about corn fungicide. And I know you say, well, hold on, Darren, I'm not going to be spraying those fungicides till June or July. That's true, but many of those plans are going in place right now, and we're hearing from growers saying, is this one of the items I should consider cutting, or is there a different way to get a better return on investment out of a corn fungicide? Now, if you're in an area that has tar spot, for example, you already know it's a 50 bushel plus loss. If I get tar spot, it might be a complete loss. I can't take that chance. I have to do it. But there are a lot of growers that are in areas that say, you know, if I plant a little more defensive hybrid, maybe I can get by without it this year, or only one application instead of two. Just a lot of choices here with corn fungicides. So wanted to talk about that today. Also bring on some experts. We got TJ Binns on right now with Syngenta to talk about this. TJ, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Good. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions here, and you can certainly take this any direction you want to, but when I look at Syngenta and I look at three mode of action fungicides, there's little question that you've got two of the best on the market. And Brian was talking about this earlier. When you mix more than one thing together, you've got more chances to win. Maybe you've got a disease that responds more to the SDHI, and awesome, you knocked it out by having that three mode of action product. Or maybe it's the old Quadris that's in there that actually does pretty good on something like tar spot. So you just never know what it's going to be, and this kind of broadens your spectrum out and gives you a better opportunity to win. How do you look at this? Because those products do come at a premium price too.
Yeah, there's a couple things. Yeah, you're right. Shotgun approach, right? I mean, if you're going to try to hit something, you never know what's going to come in and when it's going to come in. So we need to be looking at different things. But also the other thing is the rate that's in there. You can, you know, add a little bit of, say, a SDHI in there, but if it's not at a rate that'll actually do anything for you, all you're able to do is say, I've got a carboxamide in there, but it's not going to add any activity for me. So making sure that we're getting everything we need there at the right rates is what's important also.
The rate is a big deal, the additives that you may put with it, and the other one that I wanted to talk about is the timing. Because here's one that I see as we travel around the country, some growers say, man, I got to spray pre-tassel. That's working best for me. And other guys say, nope, I got to wait until after tassel. In our area, that kind of fits what's happening here better. What have you found with that? I know Syngenta does a lot of research on timing.
Well, the great thing is as long as that's working, that's great for them, because we can't all apply it all the exact same day. But, you know, honestly, if you're looking at it and you do not have disease present in the field, what our data shows is that tassel timing, right, at tassel to, you know, fully tasseled is going to be the ideal. Now, can you go a little bit earlier and still see a response? Yes. Can you be a little bit later and still see? But if you're looking for the best of the best, it's going to be right there at tassel.
Yeah, lots to think about here, and I mentioned you've got a couple of premium products. They've got different ingredients in them, though, especially a different SDHI. What have you learned comparing those premium products?
Yeah, so the base is the same. I mean, I just kind of tell everybody to make it very simple. We started out with Quiltec cells. You know, we started out with the Quadris and the Tilt, and we're just adding to them. We didn't reduce the rates, but with Trivapro, we've added the Solatinol, which, you know, that product is very, very good on rust species, whether you're dealing with common rust or southern rust. And you have some plant health benefits coming from that also. And then the other one would be Miravis Neo, where you're adding the adepidin carboxamide SDHI, where it's more focused on the leaf spot diseases, gray leaf spot, tar spot, and things like that. And what we're seeing with that is that adepidin is bringing us additional plant health over what we were getting with the Trivapro too. So keeping that plant greener longer and letting it use every day of its life to be able to, you know, make those bushels for us.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And I would say this too. A lot of times we focus on corn yield. I've also talked to a lot of growers that are raising silage that say, man, I had better silage, better quality product to deliver to a dairy or to use on my own farm by putting a corn fungicide out there. So it's something to think about. We've definitely seen differences in tonnage. We've seen differences in yield, especially when you have some of those tough diseases like we're talking about here. We're talking with TJ Binns with Syngenta. TJ, great way to kick off the show. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
Let's head over to Iowa. We've got Todd Cogdale on with us right now with FMC. And Todd, TJ is talking about these fungicides and timing and rates. There are a lot of decisions here for growers to make with the change in economics. They're always concerned about, man, I want to make sure I get a great return on investment. What do you instruct guys, or how do you talk this corn fungicide issue with them?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the first thing you have to think about is, you know, what's your historic pressure been like? What's your farm, you know, productivity and diseases do you have? That's really step number one to think about. Obviously, the weather and the environment is going to dictate from there how severe, you know, that impact could be on your crop. And those are the first things you want to take into consideration.
You know, you've got a different product in Xyway that a lot of growers say, well, if I don't have a way to spray late season on tall corn, what can I do? To have a product you could put on literally at planting time and have it last through the season, and maybe it's not the total answer for everything, but it sure has looked good in trials as at bare minimum a great setup product. Talk to us about that Xyway.
Yeah, so like you said, Xyway provides a very unique opportunity for a grower to get out there while they're in their planter to be applying a fungicide that is very long-lasting and extremely mobile. And so that's what you see out of Xyway, is this product when you're putting it in, you know, say in a 2x2 situation off the seed, getting that season-long whole plant disease protection. You know, really focus in on a couple of those key diseases like northern corn leaf blight and gray leaf spot, but then also bringing, you know, suppression of, you know, those stalk and crown rots caused by fusarium. So the guys who like to get out there and be the first guy out and planting, you know, that obviously brings an increased risk of infection from that soil-borne pathogen of fusarium. And then, like you said, in that setup situation, you know, we do see suppression of tar spot. So it really helps that guy who's in a tar spot area as well to have kind of that setup to be more flexible in their timing if they are going to consider a second pass, right?
You know, I think tar spot gets so much attention, but you mentioned some other diseases here that probably need to be talked about more, because I've got growers in different parts of the country say, well, we don't really have tar spot here. Yeah, but do you have this and this and this and this and this? Well, yeah, we do. here's where something like Xyway might fit in pretty nicely. The crown rot situation, a couple of years ago, it was terrible in Nebraska, western Iowa, up into Minnesota and South Dakota where we're farming, and I'm sure other parts of the country saw that too. That's a big deal, and there really isn't an answer if you don't do something at planting time.
Correct. And, you know, we've seen, like I said, we've seen some excellent results out of that. You know, the hardest crop to get into the combine is the one that's laying on the ground, right? So if you have a product like Xyway that can bring that suppression, those stalk and crown rots, you get that better late season standability for an easier and hopefully more trouble-free harvest, and obviously the most important thing, bushels in the tank, right?
You know, the other thing too, I'd say for growers everywhere is you can't start off making cuts right from the beginning that are going to hurt you or hurt your crop, and getting a good start with a fungicide at planting, especially as we've gotten to earlier planting dates every year, and this one is sure shaping up to be an early planting season. I mean a lot can change here over the next few weeks, but at this point it looks like guys are going to get in early. Protecting that crop up front allows you later on, you can make that decision. Hey, it's hot and dry and there's just no disease coming. I might cut it out later, but at least you set your plant up to have a great root system, to be able to explore the biggest volume of soil, get the most water and nutrients into your crop. I just don't see any downside of that.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Like you said, we've obviously had great success with, you know, Xyway supporting that plant to build that stronger root system. You know, excellent nutrient uptake, and you know, like you said on the previous call, caller, you know, we've seen some pretty decent yield gains on the silage side for the guys that want, you know, looking at silage production. You know, I've seen up to 2 tons of dry matter per acre increase there when used in a silage production system.
Hey, thanks, Todd. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more, precisely. Find an AgroLiquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Talking about corn fungicides as those corn program plans are getting finalized right now. A lot of growers starting to pick up product, getting ready for the season, and kind of thinking through, what are the options? Do I need to change hybrids if I'm going to skip out on a fungicide application? Or are there some diseases that I realize with the hybrids that I have picked, wow, I have to add some additional protection in there. And obviously plant health is always important as we're raising our crops. So taking your calls and questions about fungicides or other topics at 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Kim Tudor with us right now with BASF. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, talking about corn fungicides today, this industry has been pretty dynamic since you launched Headline a number of years back. Now there's more modes of action that we're using, a lot of products that are premixes of multiple modes of action, and a lot of talk out there about plant health and different diseases and so forth. And here we go. We've got a year where market prices aren't great either. So growers are looking at, all right, how do I sort through all this and make the best return on investment decisions for my farm?
Yeah, I know that's top of mind for a lot of folks. And I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is, what's one thing that we know that's constant? Well, other than death and taxes, it's stress, right? It's the stress that our crops are going to experience year in and year out. Now, it may be hot and dry. We could have a heavy disease pressure year. Maybe it's heavy insect pressure. We never exactly know what that stress is going to be, but we do know that growers are looking for those products that are going to provide that consistency in terms of performance and yield year in and year out. And so with BASF's performance-driven fungicides, we know that in well over 1,200 head-to-head comparisons that our products are going to outperform the competitive fungicide brand 8 times out of 10, and the untreated acre 9 times out of 10. So again, thinking back to consistency, we know that commodity prices are cyclical. They're going to go up, they're going to come down, but you know, hedging your bets and ensuring that you're being proactive instead of reactive with a performance-driven fungicide application is certainly something to keep in mind.
Yeah, the consistency that I would say I've noticed the most is just the consistency of innovation. And we see BASF just bringing the next generation along and the next generation along, and products just keep getting better. Like Veltima, for example, we've seen that one at the top of a lot of these trials in terms of performance on tar spot and other tough diseases. What's different about that? Because a lot of growers will say, well, some of these higher priced ones seem to be working better. It's more of an investment, but to get more protection, a lot of times it's proven to be worth it. So what is the real difference?
So I think one of the main differences with Veltima fungicide comes back to one of the active ingredients, which is our Revisol, or our methotrifluconazole active ingredient. So it's the first and only isopropanol azole that's available on the market. It is the newest AI that's come to market in terms of a DMI. And Revisol is really unique, and it really kind of comes back to its chemical structure. In a nutshell, that active ingredient has the ability to bind and to flex, and that flexibility of that molecule is what allows it to get inside those fungal binding sites and to bind more strongly. In addition to that strong binding, which is important for combating a lot of those pesky diseases like tar spot, like you mentioned, is its ability to meter very slowly. A lot of fungicides, when they're applied to the leaf surface, in a short amount of time, they're going to shoot out to that leaf tip. But with Revisol, it's a slower, more metered release over time. And so that's how it translates into that really, really long residual control and protection.
Yeah, there's some interesting science behind this, and I think about the plant health message too, and it seems like a lot of companies with various products now are talking about plant health. That's something that started with BASF and with Headline Fungicide. There are just some notable things, differences happening within the plant that like for our farm, we're dryland farmers in an area of the country that the last 3 years has had half our normal rainfall, and we're still seeing mm-hmm. these benefits on those dry years. It's a little different than on the years where everything is great and we're catching that inch of rain every time we need it. But talk to us about this plant health benefit thing, because there are growers that say, well, I might not be set up for the greatest crop this year, but if we can avoid having a disaster crop, that could be a huge return on investment too.
Right. So generally speaking, if we look at all of the data that we have, what's interesting, and you bring up a great point, is that the opportunity for yield protection. So we see underneath those really stressful conditions, you know, those really hot, those really dry years, you know, Veltima will always deliver an advantage, but the advantage is almost greater in the years where we experience more stress. And the science and the data behind that, it really comes down to, well, it comes down to disease control, right, which we know we've got. But it also comes down to that environmental stress mitigation and that improved growth efficiency. So BASF fungicides do help with ethylene accumulation inside of the plant. We know that ethylene is a hormone that triggers to the plant, hey, we're underneath stress, we might should consider, you know, driving towards reproductive phases. You know, things are looking kind of bleak. And by keeping stomata open, which we do with BASF's performance-driven fungicides, we're allowing for that better gas exchange and allowing for that ethylene basically to escape and to not accumulate inside the plant. And so what you see as a result of that is you're going to see cooler canopy temperatures. That photosynthesis process is going to continue, and that's ultimately what's going to drive yield. In terms of improved growth efficiency, our performance-driven fungicides also help with nitrogen assimilation. We know that nitrogen is a key component of chlorophyll, which is critical. It's a critical input for photosynthesis. So we're also keeping that plant, which if you think of it kind of like a small factory, we're just keeping it photosynthesizing longer. And we know that through that improved photosynthesis, that that plant's able to increase its yield potential.
Yeah, it's really interesting as you watch plants and see what's going on. I always encourage growers, do some check strips out there. We've been using FLIR cameras and looking at what kind of crop canopy temperature there is and these types of things, just trying to fully understand on our own farm the difference that, that some of these treatments are making. And we don't have all the science on our own farm, and I don't know many farmers that do, like a company like BSF would have, but it's neat to test some of these things out yourself, see what a difference they make on your farm, because, yeah, this is something that even if it's a dry year, we're not necessarily cutting fungicides out. In fact, it might be even more important for us in some cases. Kim, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I love asking those good questions because I know there's so much science that goes into this. It's not just about, oh, you have a disease, so get out there and spray a couple weeks ahead and you're good. There's a lot of reasons why products work differently and why growers can be successful utilizing them at the right timings on their farm. So thanks for sharing that. Really appreciate it today.
Exactly. And if you folks want to learn more, you know, science aside, we encourage you to visit revxfields.com to look at that performance year over year and across geographies.
Thanks, Kim. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking corn fungicides on today's program. And if you've got a question about fungicides or want to talk about any other topic that's more relevant for your farm, we sure welcome your questions. It's 844-44-AG-PHD. And you can email us radio@agphd.com. We're going to get into the Ag PhD mailbag here in just a little bit. We've had a lot of questions on a variety of topics. And before we leave fungicides and talking about diseases and so forth, I was talking about the disease triangle just the other day, how you need a host. You need a host crop or a susceptible crop. You need a pathogen and you need the right conditions for that to happen. TF sent in a comment, and a lot of times I know I feel the same way. He says, well, it's kind of a disease square because if your neighbor doesn't treat and the problem hits him, eventually it could work its way over to you. Yeah, I think it's always good to talk with your neighbors about things and say, hey, you know what? I see this problem out there, or I'm really concerned about tar spot, or I'm really concerned about this insect or whatever it is. It might be across on your side of the fence too, or perhaps it's something you might be interested in treating for. And sometimes you might agree on that, sometimes you might not, and that's just one of the challenges with farming. We'll talk more about corn fungicides and dig into the mailbag right after this.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Higher yield potential starts with the season-long systemic disease protection of Xyway brand fungicides from FMC. Xyway brand fungicides protect corn crops from key foliar diseases and support physiological benefits that help develop healthier, higher yielding corn for a difference you'll appreciate at harvest. Visit your FMC retailer for an at-plant advantage. Always read and follow all label directions.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Mm-hmm.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit MyBayerPlus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
This is Officer Jones calling for backup.
10-4, location?
Kraber back 40. Looks like we've got Palmer amaranth, kochia, some common water hemp.
Resistant weeds. Copy that. You'll need a good tank mix partner. I'm sending Tough 5EC.
Come out with your hands up!
Guys, we're surrounded.
Crack down on repeat offenders. Add Tough 5EC to your post-emergence tank mix. Learn more at toughonweeds.com. Always read and follow label directions. Tough is a registered trademark of Belgium Crop Protection.
Hey everybody, come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, and it is the Ag PhD mailbag time. You can join in by calling us at 844-44-AG-PHD if you've got a question, or you can always email us radio@agphd.com. Got an email here that came in from Jory, who said, "All right, guys, we got a dairy farm in western Wisconsin. We were approached by our milk processor about getting whey byproduct for free and having them dump it into our manure pit. Curious if you guys have had any experience with that. Free is great if it benefits our crop. Now, background here on our farm, we're strictly corn and soybean. Soil tests are pretty strong as far as P and K levels. Base saturation, K, anywhere from 4 to 7%. We're working on our zinc right now, getting that closer to that 10 to 1 ratio with phosphorus. Our pH is 6.7 to 6.8. 90% of our farm is fairly low CEC, 8 to 10. Some samples, maybe as high as 12. And organic matter levels, really for this light of soil, pretty good, 2.5 to 3.5. So what would you do if you had access to a free byproduct? All right, Brian, you back on with us now?
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's me, I would test it. I don't know what's even in that. So, no, I'm not familiar with anybody using a whey byproduct. I don't know what it would be. So I would want to analyze it and see what I'm getting for nutrients. I don't know if there's anything harmful in there. I would seriously doubt it. But I just want to see what I'm getting. That's all.
Yep, I agree. Test the byproduct, see what it is, and see if it's going to work for you. And then just putting it into your manure pit is also another thing here too. How's that going to mix, and what ratio are you going to have now? You'll have to make sure you test your manure before you spread it.
Yeah, and I assume it's not going to kill off the good biology that's in your manure. So I haven't read up on this. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what the tests would normally run, but if it's me, and let's say I'm going into something brand new, the first thing I'm doing is I'm talking to some people that have done this. I'm also wondering, well, why are they coming to me? What were they doing with it before? And were they trying to give it to other people and it was a problem? I mean, I would doubt that, but it's always possible. So I'm going to try to talk to some other people that have used it. And then in terms of the analysis, I'm not just running N, P, and K. I want to see what all the micronutrients are as well. I mean, like literally everything, salt content. And I mean, just almost like it's manure itself. I want to know everything that's in that if I can. And if you do test it that way and you get results, if you'd like to send those to us, then maybe we can give you a little more information on that. And now that I've gotten this question, I'm going to read up on it a little bit and see what else I can learn. So, for anybody that's listening, if you have any experience with this, just let us know. Either call us, email us, whatever. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, thanks for the question, Jory. Got this one from David over in Pennsylvania, and he said, you guys are just talking about using dry urea, and I got a question for you. We're dry enough here to get out and start spreading fertilizer, and I'd like to put some dry urea out there in my grass hay fields. This Friday, we've got a chance. At this point, they're saying 2/10 of an inch of rain in the forecast. If we get anything like that, just really light rain, would a urease inhibitor like Agritane continue to protect the urea, or is that much rain going to wash it off? Our high temperatures will be in the 40s until next Monday when we get back into the 60s.
Okay, I'm not worried about a stabilizer washing off. What I'm thinking about is I just need enough rain to get the nitrogen down in the ground. Would 2/10 be enough? It probably would. Depends on how fast it comes. But yeah, I guess I'm just concerned that if I don't get rain, how long is that stuff going to have to sit out there? Urea can last quite a while with a stabilizer, but it's not going to last forever. Without a stabilizer, you only have about 48 hours. You're going to start losing it and losing it fairly quickly. So urea does volatilize fairly easily. Now, I will say when it's cooler, you have less volatilization, so that's good. Cooler and cloudy, that's what we like, less volatilization. But, yeah, I mean, in a situation like that where it's not 100% chance of rain, if it was 100% chance of rain and it was supposed to be an inch or two, then I'm feeling amazing. And I don't know if I'd even put the stabilizer with it. But in your situation, I'm putting the stabilizer with it just in case that rain doesn't materialize. Because here's the other thing. A very light rain probably makes it worse. So we don't want to do anything or have anything happen that accelerates that volatilization process. And yeah, let's say it was 5/100 of rain and it's very slow over 3 hours. Yeah, that's bad for your urea.
All right.
Again, if it's stabilized, I'm not worried about the wash up. It's still going to hold for a while.
All right, let's take a similar question, but a different product. This one comes in from Jeff in East Central Illinois. He said, I have 200 pounds of ammonium sulfate applied ahead of planting corn each year. This is mainly for the nitrogen, but I also like it as my source of sulfur. Usually I have it applied 1 to 3 days ahead of the field cultivator and planter. We're dry this spring and we're at least 2 to 3 weeks ahead of planting corn and maybe more depending on the weather. What's the earliest you would have ammonium sulfate applied? I am obviously concerned about losing both the nitrogen and the sulfur.
Yeah, we applied ammonium sulfate last week on our farm. Hasn't rained yet. Now, they're talking a good chance of snow here this weekend, so then we'll be fine. So you're looking at a week to 10 days with no rain or snow, and I'm not worried about ammonium sulfate. The ammonium form is good. When we're talking urea, I do worry about that a lot and volatilization. But the ammonium sulfate, when you throw that out there, usually you have a lot of time before rainfall, and you shouldn't have a whole lot of loss. And I'm not worried about the sulfur really at all. It's mainly concerned about nitrogen. That's always what we're worried about. But no, ammonium sulfate's pretty good. Here's the other thing. With ammonium sulfate, your amount of nitrogen is pretty low. You throw 200 pounds out, you got like 42 pounds of actual N. It's not that much. It's not like you're throwing out 200 pounds of actual N or anything. So, no, I feel pretty good with the ammonium sulfate.
All right, got a herbicide question. This comes in from Sam. He said, I had a guy tell me that Prowl H2O does not work as well as the older oil-based stuff, especially in no-till. What are your thoughts with each of these products? Do you see similar performance or do you see a difference?
Similar performance. However, the rate is a little bit different. So make sure you're using the appropriate rate. As long as you're going with the right rate, it should work just the same. So now, is it possible that the Prowl H2O on a weed or two might not be as good? It's possible. We've never seen that. I've never seen any documentation of that. But, you know, if somebody really believes that, I don't know, maybe there's a slight chance of something being slightly different. But anything dramatic, no way, no how. It's basically about the same. But just make sure you're using the right rate.
Okay. JT had a question. He said, please post some sources for testing your seed before planting. Are you guys talking about the pericarp score? Thanks for the question, JT. We're not talking about the pericarp score. We're interested in both the warm germination percentage, but more importantly, the cold germination percentage, where they're going to actually run that test in more similar conditions to what we're going to be planting into. For us in South Dakota, there's a couple labs that we use up in Brookings, SODAC Labs or SGS, and I know SGS is all over the place, but you can find some university labs that can do the standard cold germ test. That's the one we're most important or most concerned about. Anything else you'd suggest there, Brian?
No. I mean, warm germ, cold germ, I usually feel pretty good. Some of these other tests, the challenge is, can you get repeatable results? So, for example, the saturated cold germination test, we have a certified testing lab with, I mean, there are only a few people in the whole country in the United States that are considered the registered seed technicians. And they, when I talk to them, they just say, look, that saturated cold germ test, we can't repeat it. In other words, we've run the same sample through and we get vastly different results sometimes, which tells you it's not a good test. Cold germ, repeatable. Warm germ, repeatable. Those are the ones we're typically looking at.
Hey, thanks for the question, JT. We'll be right back taking more of your questions right after this.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/Facebook.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health through awareness, guidance, and action. Together, we can uproot the stigma.
Your farm data platform might let you manage your fertilizer plan by helping you set sample points, determine management zones, or create fertilizer recommendations. With Verify, you can do all that. But what Verify does that no one else can is take yield data straight from your combine, correlate this info to soil test points, and immediately generate variable rate fertilizer maps based on your nutritional goals. Whether you want to build soil levels, balance your field for uniform nutrition, or maintain fertility levels by simply applying what you removed at harvest. And with full integration with John Deere Operations Center, Verify can send recommendations directly to application equipment, no matter the color. Sign up for your Verify account today at verify.com and keep your farm moving. That's VRAFY.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
What's the difference between John, who bought Enlist One herbicide and Instinct Next Gen nitrogen stabilizer, and Tom, who bought Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen and used True Choice? Only about $5,000 extra in Tom's pocket? Choose True Choice and get up to 10% back. It's really as simple as that. Start saving at Corteva.com/save more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio, and we're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag, taking your calls at 844-44-AG-PHD. or by email your questions, radio@agphd.com. All right, next question. This one comes in about bluegrass. How would you treat annual bluegrass in Kentucky bluegrass? What would you use for pre-emerge, or how do you stop seed germination? There are a couple products now that are labeled, one of them being PoaCure, which is methiazolin. Sorry, easy for me to say, right? But the other one is SureGuard. I was just talking with Lauren Mulder down in Texas. He works with Neil Kinsey on crop consulting, but also gets into a lot of the turf stuff. And the active ingredient's flumioxazin, which would be like the product Valor that we use in soybeans. But the product's name is SureGuard. And they're using a much higher rate in situations like this than we can use in crops like soybeans. I think he was talking like 10 ounces or something. And I know there's a rate range. And I would say consult with your turf specialist about exactly what rate would be right for you in your situation. But those would be the products that I'm aware of that could be used for annual bluegrass control in Kentucky bluegrass, which sounds like a pretty tough problem to solve. Also, there's a resistance management piece that was put out by USDA SCRI Annual Bluegrass Collective. And they just did a pretty detailed mix. It's a bunch of the universities that put this out about which products there's resistance to and which ones are still working. That was quite a handy resource. So look for that one online as well about which modes of action are still working. All right. Question that came in here on, there's a bunch of fertilizer questions right now. First one here is from Gary down in Iowa, and he says, all right, guys, I don't know if you've noticed this. We've got a big red drought spot across where we farm in northeast Iowa, and this is really new territory for us. We don't have irrigation, and we're in the red zone here, and spring moisture, we might still get some, but we're kind of nervous about this. Our renter deep-tilled fertilizer, and this is all corn ground going to both corn or soybeans, new renter, and we're excited about that and everything. Our fields are pattern tiled, but our big question here is, should we consider waiting to plant since we're in the red zone and don't have much moisture? And also, should we consider rolling the ground after planting?
Okay, so as far as waiting to plant, this is northeast Iowa, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not worried that it's not going to rain. It's northeast Iowa. If I'm in South Dakota, I'm a little bit more worried. But even so, the big concern for us always, if we're working the ground, is we want to make sure that we are not tilling until right when we're going to plant. So we're tilling, we're planting like within an hour or two. That's a big thing. We want to seal that ground back up. So as far as rolling the ground, I mean, are you really going to seal the ground up that much later? No.
I should have mentioned, Brian, I missed this. He said they're planning on only one light pass with a soil finisher when they're putting their herbicide on. But they were, the herbicide, actually.
So what I expected, we're going to be working the ground. I just figured northeast Iowa, we're working the ground. So that's always the big key for us in drought. Am I delaying planting? No way. I'm not waiting to plant. In fact, I'm going to plant earlier. I'm not that concerned. But here's what I would say. I want to make sure that I'm going down to moisture if I can. So if you go, all right, let's call it the 15th of April. I think my corn's going to germinate and grow here in the next couple of weeks, whatever. There's zero rain in the forecast for 2 weeks. It's looking bone dry. Everything is dry. Then I'm fine if you want to go down to moisture. If you want to go down to 3 inches deep, you can. But the concern with that is crusting. So if you do get a rain, now you're going to be tough. You're going to be in tough shape. So I would worry about that a little bit and going deep in northeast Iowa. In South Dakota, a lot less risk. We get 50% less rain or 30% less rain where we farm compared to that area. So anyway, but back to the planting and delaying planting. Here's the thing. I don't know what's going to be best this particular year. I just know if you have a lot of acres to go, you don't want to finish your planting, let's call it the middle of May. We know that on average, you're going to lose yield then. So if you can do all your planting in 2 days, sure. Delay it just a little bit, hope for the best. But, I mean, don't forget, in that area, especially when you've been dry, things usually even out. And we know that area gets pounded with rain almost every spring and summer. So if you delay and then all of a sudden you do get all this rain, it again, you might be out till the middle of May. So I am not a fan of waiting to plant. I'm really not. But on the flip side, I do want to try to plant everything into moisture if I can. So I would look at maybe adjusting, going down just a little bit deeper if that would help me hit moisture. And I'd at least consider that. But keep in mind, you run the risk of crusting then.
Yeah, I don't think I'd roll it then if I was going to do that.
Definitely not.
All right, thanks for the questions. We appreciate that. And yeah, hopefully you guys catch some rain soon and it's a non-issue for you on your farm. I get this one from...
Oh, by the way, the reason why Darren says, and I say too, no rolling... When you roll, you have a greater chance for crusting. If you've planted deeper than normal, now you also have a greater risk of crusting. So you're compounding the potential bad thing. So yeah, I wouldn't advise you to do that.
All right, thanks for the questions. Derek's got a couple of them, and I can go pretty quick here. He said, with CEC, you guys talk about you can apply enough nitrogen that it's 10 times your CEC at any one time. When can we apply more? You can apply more as the plant uses it up. So it's going to be a little while. It's not a day later. It's not a week later or anything like that. It's as that crop uses it up. You can just look at what the nutrient uptake charts are for nitrogen. There's a lot of great ones out there that you can find easily with a Google search to see, okay, how long has it been and when can I put the next shot on? A lot of times it's what, V5, V6, Brian, before guys are putting that next shot on?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, then the next question, our hydrogen-based saturation is around 17%. You guys are talking 2 to 10% a lot. Why are these levels high, and what can we do to lower them? You've got them high because you've got a low soil pH. So your pH at 17% hydrogen saturation, I would expect that to be around 5, 9, or 6. So if you wanted to boost your pH up just a little bit, then that hydrogen percent will come down. Just don't get too carried away. Especially if you're in a corn and soybean rotation, we a lot of times like that pH in the 6.2 to 6.5 range. We would prefer not overdoing it by putting way too much calcium out there. Thanks for the questions. We appreciate that. Got this one from Chris. He said, in your area, when you do a 6 to 24 inch nitrogen sample, how much of that do you figure is going to be available during the season if you get normal rainfall? Assume that you've got a 20 CEC and a 6.5 pH.
In our area, normal rainfall?
That's what he's asking.
I'd expect 80, 90% of it. So when we were running our nitrogen recs just yesterday, Rob Fritz, he's on the radio show from time to time, agronomist, he was figuring 50%. And I said, Rob, I think you're too low. And he goes, well, I just want to be safe. And I'm actually figuring a little higher than normal on organic matter. And I said, okay, well, if you even it out that way, fine. But in our area, we're going to get a lot because we have heavy soil. We don't have a lot of rainfall. And so I think we're going to be fine. But if you have lots of rain, you might not get that. Here's the thing. Once you put a whole bunch of nitrogen on up front, you can't go back. Whereas if I don't put a crazy amount of nitrogen on up front, now I could supplement more at side dress time. So that's the reason why a lot of times people will figure a little bit on the low side and then they go, okay, well, we'll just see how it pans out. If I am able to extract a bunch of that, and if that's still there in June, then I'll just do less side dressing.
Yeah, you can always pull some soil tests later, do a pre-side dress nitrate test. It's really cheap. It's simple. Just go out a few days to a week before you think you might want to do some side dressing. Get a great idea what you got out there for nitrogen left from those early applications or from residual nitrogen that's out there from the year before. The other thing, too, if you get a really warm spring, you may already have some mineralization happening where you see some more of that nitrogen showing up from the breakdown of your organic matter. Hey, thanks for the question. We really appreciate it. And thanks to you for listening today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.